Hi, I'm Melissa. I'm an addict.
Hi, Melissa.
I just want to say Happy Christmas, everybody. It's going to be my first clean Christmas. Please, God, God willing. I'm more nervous than I really thought I would be, and I spoke to my sponsor and I said, I've been asked, and it's a privilege, I think, to speak at the speaker meeting, and it's going to be recorded. And I said, have you got any suggestions for me? And she said, yeah, don't buy the tape. Okay, and that was her suggestion. So I'll be giving a donation. My stories, I suppose, like everybody else's, I took loads and loads of drugs and I couldn't stop. I picked up when I was 13. I used to go to a little private school, and I did a little red and grey uniform, and I had a massive 6-foot skinhead boyfriend that used to come and pick me up from school, and we used to walk holding hands, and he was covered in tattoos, and we used to go over the park and sniff glue and puff. And I think I picked up at 13, and I never put down drugs till I was about 21, 22, and I came into this fellowship and a couple of other fellowships, and got a few clean days, and then go back out and then sort of come back in again. And there's this girl that I was brought up with. She was my best friend, and she was my abusing partner, my drinking partner, and whatever we did, she always did more than me, and I was always kind of trying to catch up with her, and I was always sick a lot, I was always puking up, and and she'd be rubbing my back, and that's kind of how it was. And she came into this fellowship when she was 26, and I came in with her, and then I was back out again, and whatever, and today she's my sponsor. She's been clean 12 years, and we've got a really lovely relationship, and I tell her everything. And that was when I asked her to be my sponsor. It was, because she was a friend of mine, she kind of knew a lot of my history. She said to me, are you willing to go to any lengths? And I said, yeah. And she said, whatever you do, however dishonest you are in your life at the moment, the only person you've got to be honest with is me. And it really, because honesty wasn't something that was kind of normal. I wouldn't be honest about my using. I wouldn't be honest to my family, to my friends, to people that I work with. I'd try and hide everything. And pretty badly, but I thought I was doing all right, but I just wasn't. And so learning to actually be honest, and sometimes I do want to bend the truth with her, and I don't want to be totally honest and say what's what, but she seems to know. She seems to know when I kind of, there's certain things. It's been, I finished step 12 with her on Wednesday, and she was like, right, okay, now I want you to go and pass this on, the message and the steps, and do your bit. And I was like, wow. and hopefully I can do a bit of that. And the way tonight I've told myself that I've got to see is just tell the truth and just say what it was like for me. I used from a really young age, and I did all like the yes. I'd come into recovery and I'd hear people saying things. I wasn't working a program. Up until 10 months ago is when I started working the steps. And I'd hear people, saying about these things called yets. I'd never do that, and people would go, yet. And as the years went on, I kind of started doing all those yets, and I You know, another thing people have said to me since I've been round is, oh my God, you know, you look really well and stuff like that. And, you know, it looks like it's been really easy for you. And yeah, I mean, when I come in, I was so beaten that I wanted this more than anything. I wanted to get well. I didn't want to use anymore. I suppose, a lot of my struggling outside the rooms rather than sort of inside the rooms. And I kind of did hit, you know, what I've heard people say, spiritual rock bottom, and mine was a real spiritual rock bottom. I just didn't want to live anymore. I just hated myself. I hated my life. I hated, you know, I didn't get the thing about that I had a disease or that I had an illness. Every time I picked up, I thought I could stop. I thought I could control, you know, and I couldn't. And when I come into recovery, I kept finding drugs in my house. It was like, which was really weird, because all I've ever done is scoured about on the floor looking for drugs, and I'd placed them all high up in places. And you know, and I'd phone people from NA, and I thought, I found drugs. And they'd be like, okay, now put them down the toilet. Okay. And I'd hold somebody on the phone and go, okay, I'm flushing it now, you know. And it was hard. It was hard, but I've had so much support and so much love in, you know, since I've been around. I can really say that, you know, when people say, I'll take my phone number, ring me anytime, day or night, and I thought, yeah, all right, I'm not, you know, I'd never ring anybody anytime, day or night when I was using, so I'm definitely not going to be ringing you at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm clean. And I did. Being clean, I had the worst psychosis. I was about 2 months clean, and I had really bad, I don't know if it was stuff coming out my system or, you know, stuff coming up, but I had the worst paranoia and psychosis. It didn't last long. And I needed somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I picked the phone up, and someone was there for me, and they took me through it. I was having nightmares and stuff that just seemed really, really real, really real. Was that God's way of saying talk about my will? but somebody prayed with me down the phone, and because that's another thing, this praying thing. I only ever prayed for me and what I want, and prayed for, you know, get me through the night, and God, you know, prayed that I don't want to do this no more. And all my prayers were kind of prayers of help, and and today my prayers were thanks, and I mean that. This person prayed with me down the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was beautiful. what got me in here this time was I just thought, I'm coming up to 40 and I'm still kind of living like a teenager, you know. I'm still kind of think I can go out, and you know, my house was like a youth club, not with kids in it, but just with like people coming back, you know, after parties, after clubs, and coming back and not going, and we'd all be there for 3-4 days on the trot. And I just, you know, you just have that moment of clarity, and you think, what am I doing, this has got to stop. And I just did not know how to stop, and I just thought, I've got to go back to NA. That's the only time I've ever been able to stop and stayed stop. And I just thought, you know, this time I'm going to listen, and I'm going to take on suggestions and actually do them, rather than go, yeah, I know best. And I did, and that's what I did. I got a sponsor. I started to work the steps and really work them and be honest and pray. You know, every kind of do the step three prayer, because I thought you couldn't do the step three prayer until you've done the third step. Which was, you know, so I'd pray and not tell anyone. I've been praying. You know, that's what I did. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I took on a commitment. I've got a commitment at the moment for the London Convention, but I went to the London Convention this year, and I was like about stopped, and I was about a month, 2 months clean, and it was harrowing. And I was sitting there, and I was having panic attacks, and the floor was breathing. And I was by the door because I was ready to run. And when someone texted me, they went, "Are you okay?" I was like, "No, I'm by the door and I'm ready to run." But my head was telling me, "There's 2,000 sick people here and you've got to get out." And that's just, and you know, that's kind of the power of this illness, that it tells you, you know, lies. And it was such a relief to find out that I had an illness that could be treated. And, you know, first of all, don't pick up, because any time I've ever used, you know, the pain, you know, I'm not going to go on about pain, because we've all had a lot of pain, but, you know, using on that pain and, you know, to forget it, and then using on the stuff you done when you was trying to forget that pain, and, you know, using on that and trying to mask all this stuff. And, you know, I can sit quite comfortably today. I've got a load of stuff that I had going on in my head that, you know, been building up since I was a child. I've kind of got rid of through this program, you know, doing the step in on step four. My head just cleared, and you know, the maintenance that I try and do with my sponsor, she makes me do a step four once a week. The moment, and kind of, you know, as a step 10, and just to, you know, it cleared my head, you know, because I'd hear clean house and think, what's that? You know, I don't have OCD, I don't do that, but and you know, but clean, you know, clear your head out, and you know, so you've got, you know, peace of mind. And I do have peace of mind, and at the moment, I know so far so good. I've also learned that, you know, on a daily basis, I don't have to pick up whatever happens. I do still do, I'm 10 months clean, I still do about 4 or 5 meetings a week, and this is kind of the only place where I feel really accepted for who I am. And I've really never met such wonderful people, and I'd say that honestly. I've never felt so comfortable anywhere. I feel more comfortable here than I do in my own mother's house, because she used to like throw something down before I sat down so I wouldn't dirty her settee, and you know, yeah, and it's good to be here, and it's been a real privilege to be able to share, and I hope you got something. Thanks.